The compelling journey. Have you ever been so compelled to do something that there's nothing you knew could ever get in your way? It doesn't matter whatever it is headed in your direction. You're standing there looking at it going, I don't think I would do that if I were you. See, that compelling journey that you and I will have, the most compelling journey in your whole existence, will be that journey that God has compelled you to do. Why do you serve God? Do you serve God out of fear? Do you serve God out of trust? Do you serve God? Well, do you serve God because you love Him? You know, sometimes you just do nice things to your children because you love them. Do you notice that? What'd you do that for? Well, I love you. Does that mean you didn't love me last week? That's people, isn't it? God said, I'm going to compel you. I'll give you energy. I'll give you courage. I'll give you boldness. I am the one that will strengthen you. I am your Lord thy God. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll show you what winning is all about. To follow God means to help others. To follow in the path of God means you're going to hurt in the process. But God says, I want you to be a compelling individual. I want you to be irresistible. Remember when Joey was just irresistible? Still, yeah. Irresistible. Where you are compelling someone and they're looking at you, but what do they see? Do they not see the love of Christ? Do you want to see a compelling spirit? It is when you allow God to use you to go to someone. That someone is in need. You don't really know what that need is. God didn't tell you what that need was. God told you to go to that individual. And then you say, okay, I will go. But I really don't like him, Lord. What if he gets saved? Then I got to be with him forever. That's our human nature, isn't it? Okay, Lord, let me give him your word. But let's watch him squirm just a little bit longer before I do it. Yeah, that's in that mind. But God says, I want you to go not knowing where you're going. When I tell you you're going to do something, I want you to trust me that I'll see to it you do it. I want you to have a compelling personality so that the world will look in. A world who has no hope. A world who cannot see hope. A world that does not understand life any more than you do. But they don't have the trusting mechanism for the one who created life like we do. Hear me well, Christian. You are a human being. You are frail. You will falter. You will get ill. You will get diseased. All the stuff that normally happens can't happen to anybody, can't happen to you. Understand it. It's called the facts of life. It's called reality living. Get real about your life. But God says, here's what I want you to do most of all. I want you to go with a compelling spirit. A compelling spirit is not the kind of a spirit that is going to walk and say, woe is me, woe is me. It's the kind of spirit that walks and says, great is thee.
Amen.
Great is my Father who is in heaven. He will overcome. He has overcome. He is the great overcomer. Be compelling. Let them hear the word from God so they too can have the hope that is in you. Allow His word to come from you. Urging people irresistibly. How in the world let God be God through you? Let the Holy Spirit, who is going to touch a life. Well, now, Lord, you didn't discuss this with me before I got there. How am I going to know what to do? I didn't discuss it with you, Larry, because you'd mess it up. What our duty to God is, the battle is raging. My duty to God is to show up. But Larry, you're not prepared for battle. That would be a battle I'd lose. The battle that I trust God in completely is the battle that's always won. Hear me well. Each one of you has a calling from God for your life. Seek that calling with all due diligence. Seek that calling with all your heart. But how could I have a calling? Because God gave you that calling. Did He not give you life? In that life is your calling. But I don't know what it is. How can I train for it? Training is between you and Jesus. Jesus says, hey, Larry, I'm going to love you. How does He love me? Oh, multiplicity of ways He loves me. He sent each and every one of you into my life. I mean, I see you. I know you. I love you. When you hurt, I hurt. Don't you see? It's love. It's to be able to reach to that that twists the man. That that will pull you to the side. And God, reach in. Full strength. Full power. Full force of the love of Almighty God. And God says, go. For I am with you always. Even to the end of the age. Well, that's a power train, folks. You hear me? I don't care what you got. Now, you hear me right on that. I care that you hurt. I care that you're miserable. But I don't care what you have. I have a God who's all powerful. You may suffer. Oh, you will suffer. You will suffer. But trust me. Supper time's coming. The pain that you're going through as an individual. Each one of us are going through something. Use that something to glorify God by helping someone else. You will find peace by giving peace to someone else. Bring that peace. Bring that dinner to them. Let them know they are loved. Guarantee you, throughout my careers, I have seen people that were so hurting in life, they didn't know what love was. And I can tell you, from what I knew of them, they had never seen it in action in their life. They grew up in hatred, bitterness, trial, tribulation, but they never saw that compelling spirit that was so irresistible that I want to be like him or her. Even if I've got to go through that pain that they're going through, I want that feeling from God. You listen to me, folks. There's not a greater feeling than to have that. It's an awesome feeling to know that you're in the hands of the God of creation, and he knows your name. I use that a lot, don't I? I get excited about that. Larry Pete's known in heaven. And you might as well get used to it here because you're going to hear it. And you hear me? You and I, together we walk, compelling a lost world. I cannot condemn a world that does not know. I can condemn the sin all day, but the person that is so saturated in it that does not know the difference, how can I nail them with their sin if I am the one called by God to go stand, preach, proclaim, and I don't go stand, preach, proclaim, and they didn't hear? You have the same obligation as I do to be compelling in your speech. Make sure that as you listen to the voice of God. Luke 14:23, then the master said to the servant, I want you to go on out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Okay, how am I going to compel? 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Okay. Going to church is just not the act of going to church. Worshiping is just not the act of going to church, singing, praising, shouting, praying. No, worship goes deeper than that. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship in God is where you're up to your eyeballs and enemies all around you. And you know those enemies are there to destroy you. And you love them anyway. Well, that'll drive them nuts. But you'll love them anyway. See, Jesus loved me. That's how I knew to love Jesus. You wouldn't know to love Jesus if Jesus didn't love you first. You wouldn't know how to love Jesus if it's not Jesus that's showing you how to love him. So how did he show me to do it? Make sure your heart's set apart for Christ as Lord. Make sure that the real you in your heart, it is Christ set aside. And he is the Lord of your life. Always, now listen to this, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But then he says, but do this with gentleness and respect. Now, wait a minute. Be But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Now, I want you to think a minute. How many people you had to ask you lately, what gives you that hope inside of you? And if you haven't, have you expressed hope outwardly? Do you see hope within your life yourself? You see, the world is looking for someone to give them hope through whatever it is they're going through. Everyone's going through trials and tribulations. Not everyone has the same trials and tribulations. So therefore, you search out in your heart the power of Christ, and God will lead you to that personality or personalities that need to hear a word from Him. And then you share the hope. I have hope. Larry, do you know that you can stand in the pulpit this morning? No. Haven't been able to stand all week, Carly. No. I don't know it. Are you going to stand in the pulpit this morning? Yeah. That's what I'm called to do. That's not my job, to give myself strength to stand in this pulpit and proclaim God's word. That's not my job. My job is to stand in the pulpit. My job's to show up. I guarantee you, Jesus always completes His job, His work. It's not going to matter how you feel. What's going to matter for your life is how active is Jesus in your life individually. Do you believe what you say you believe? Well, how do I prove it? Show up. Show up. And for goodness sakes, stand up. We're in a fallen world today. We are watching the United States of America, and it's been falling for years. And we're seeing it crumble just a little more each day. And we say, I don't know what to do. Listen to me, world. Christians, wherever you are, here's what you need to do. You ready? Show up. Where God tells you to show up, show up. And when you get there, stand up. If you get knocked down, you stand back up. If you get knocked down, you stand back up. If you get knocked down again, you expect your son and grandson and your nephews to get up here and get you up. Because God has a message to get out, and He wants to use you. Your personality is going to touch personalities out there that nobody else can touch. But you got to get about your Father's business. You have to be compelling. Do you believe what you say you believe? What's the proof? You showed up. Yeah, but did you do anything? I hope and pray that I never do anything in the pulpit until the Lord shows up to do it. It's not up to you or me. I happen to know Jesus. I happen to know within my own heart, yeah, I'm pulling through all of this garbage. I also happen to know that there's a purpose in this. There's a purpose in it. I don't happen to know exactly what that purpose is. And if one of you have caused it, I do know for a fact that as a Christian, I'm a winner. I don't hold on to my Christian faith by what I do or by the knowledge that I will have. Or I won't hold on to my Christian faith because of the great teachers that I have that are around me. No. I don't hold on to it at all. He holds on to me.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus says, I got you, Larry. Well, Lord, don't you think maybe we could go a little easy on some of this stuff? You know, I had a son that asked me that. In a garden. Huh? Well, Lord, if there's another way to do this, let's do it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, Christian, that's what being compelling is all about. You're not some superhero. You happen to have living in you the real superhero.
That's right.
And I don't need a shock to bring it out. We need love. We need understanding. We need peace. We need for each other to understand this. You're not going to look at life the way I look at life. You weren't called to. Folks, you got your own job to do. Get about it. But don't condemn the other person because they don't. Love one another. You know, I've been on the theme of love for a while, haven't I, Brother Randy?
It's all through the book.
Yeah. Whole book full of it. He read the same book. But God says, I want you to be compelling in all you do. Here's the hope that we're talking about. You ready? Christ is the God-ordained power of his church. Jesus Christ is the God-ordained power of his church. It's not the people. It's not just the people uniting together. What you see when the people unite together is the full hand of God in all his glory for that church. That's why we are to always assemble together while we can. Do not forsake it. Acts 17:31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness. Meaning he's the righteous judge. And he's going to judge based on right. He's not going to compare righteousness to anything. It is the ultimate. In righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this. To all by raising him from the dead. He ordained him to confer holy orders on. God did. Son, this is your church, your power. But do you know what the problem is? Too many of us don't trust his power. We think that it's by our own power. It isn't. We think that we can move the mountains. The book never said that, Brother Randy. Never said I can move anything. book did tell me this. Through your faith, though that mountain get in your way, you can tell it to be removed and God will throw it out of the way. That'd be a game to watch, wouldn't it? The excitement of reality living. Living in a world where reality has hit each of us. That the only peace you're going to find in this world is through Jesus. The only hope, the only power, the only strength for the day, for the time, you will find in Jesus. Because Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. He does love me. But you and I, we need to take that love out to people who don't know him. To people that are just barely hanging on. They're not barely hanging on. They're not even close to hanging on. Without Jesus, you ain't hanging on. Period. Tell them about Jesus. You do it compellingly. Don't you go out there and start taking your Bible, hitting people upside the head with it. I won't even bring you a cake when you get in jail. What you need to do is you need to let them know that that holy word that God has is for you. You got it? That word is for you. Well, Chaplain Vance, do you mean that God knows me? Yeah. God knows you. And he knew a young chaplain that was going to stand right in front of you. And that young chaplain was going to watch you give your heart to Christ. That connection, you know how strong that it gets. Later on in years, that young man that did that turned his heart over to the Lord, followed the Lord the rest of the time he was in the prison system. He got out. He didn't quit following the Lord. To this day, he's still following the Lord. As a matter of fact, 15 years ago, he came in his church and cleaned all the pews and the carpet for us. Well, one night I got a call. This is special, folks. This is what a compelling spirit will do when someone knows that you truly do love them. And he said, call me Larry all the time, which is fine with me. Larry, Mike has just been killed. Mike was his younger brother, in and out of trouble also. As a matter of fact, at one point, Walter told me, he said, you know, I'd give anything if Mike could come to prison so he could get saved. Never forgot that. But he says, Mike had been murdered. It's in an alley in Louisville. And I said, Walter, what happened? It was a gang-related murder. And he was left to bleed to death in this alley. And I said, Mike, what did the police say? Well, I don't know, Larry. I didn't call the police. I called you. I said, Michael, would you call the police, please? He said, yeah. But I wanted you to know it first. I had prayer with Walter that night. Young Michael had died. And when I did the funeral, it was no more pleasant than that night was, because his girlfriend, who was a member of the other gang, and they didn't know it, that had him murdered, came to the funeral home. Now, that was a time when I needed that spirit. the Holy Spirit. And that was the time that I got that Holy Spirit. Special touch for that special moment. And it, Walter knew she was there, got up, walked around in front of me when I'd already started the service. And he looked at the woman who was the cause of killing his brother and said all manner of things. I want her out. Yelling. Cursing. Afterwards, I was asked by the funeral director, Chaplain Vance, I thought you said that man had changed. I said, that man has changed. A few years back, she'd have already been dead. You wouldn't have seen what you saw. I tell you that story because you and I happen to be that spirit for that time, for that individual. What a life. But doesn't it say something? When a brother says, I'd give anything if Michael could come to prison so he could get saved. It just didn't sound right to me. So here I am, Vine Grove Baptist Church. You and I have a calling. You don't know who that person is going to be in your life. But I guarantee you, God has at least one in your life. And there could be hundreds. All I said to you is this. Be prepared to give the answer as to why you see the hope that you say you have. Give the answer. I know him personally. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. I know Jesus. Oh boy, do I know Jesus. And I'm excited about that. But you and I have got to get the word out. Let's hope and pray that they don't have to go to prison to learn about his name. That they can do it right here at Vine Grove Baptist Church. Because it will be his message that will be preached as long as I'm given the breath to stand.